Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the realistic demands of spiritual science. Listen as we explore what it takes to experience divine truth in human experience. In this show, we will discuss the phrase, "If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is." Divine science demands all that you are and then gives all it is. Only reason walks through the open door of revelation. Creation doesn't reveal its secrets to an unworthy opponent. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and distinguish the false from the true. Swami, the title of today's show is Facing the Demands of Spirit. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, what I think we really want to try and start to understand is being spiritual isn't just a declaration. It's not just an academic achievement. That there's a lot that's involved here. And like we said in the opening, creation doesn't seem to reveal its secrets to an unworthy opponent. As we read about the labors of Hercules or the stations of the cross in some forms of Christianity, I personally think about what Jesus said in Matthew 19:24, and I'll read it. "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." End of quote. Healthy, happy people don't seem to have any reason to leave the pleasures, comforts, and profits of the mortal experience. Why would they? It's mostly when the opposite conditions appear, which inspire a change in course. Nothing gets you off the couch quicker than sitting on a tack. Sickness, suffering, lack, limitation, pain, discomfort, these motivate change. It reminds me of the story of the man who jumped off the top of the Empire State Building, and as he passed the 51st floor, was heard saying, "So far, so good." It's the sudden stop at the end that has the biggest effect on the outcome. So here, become realistic about being spiritual isn't easy. It's not just saying, "I'm spiritual." And it's going to require a complete transformation.
In the opening, I stated that we were going to talk about the realistic demands of spiritual science. Well, can you give us an idea what the unrealistic demands are?
One of the most unrealistic demands that we have from spirit is we think God is a power that we can turn to and ask for favors, that we can ask God to help us with problems we're experiencing, or what I call the old theology, where we're separate from God and God is the almighty supreme being. And for all these thousands of years we've been going about that, trying to do this with that same paradigm that doesn't work. And nobody seems to have the capacity to actually challenge their concept of God. Now, God can't give humanity anything. And the main reason is God isn't withholding anything. God is busy running a perfect universe. And what we're living in is not the divine creation. And for us to actually get the benefits of being in the divine creation, we have to forfeit, or we have to surrender or sacrifice this false sense of existence. We have to put off the old man, as it says in the Bible, before we qualify to walk into this eternal kingdom of heaven.
When you say put off the old man, are you saying that we have to lift ourselves out of this level of consciousness that we're operating from?
It's like we talked about last week, this idea of rising as the Son of Man, where we have to declare ourselves to be immortal and understand ourselves to be so. We have to come out of the belief in mortality. We have to come out of judging things, what they called unrighteously, which means that you're looking at things not of the divine creation. You're looking at the mental material recreation of world mind, and you're not conscious of the divine creation.
What you're saying reminds me of the two main commandments that Jesus gave his disciples. Would those be the actual instructions for us to how we are to live our lives in putting God first?
This idea to love God, getting a handle on the physics of spirituality, like attracts like, the idea of love. Now, there's human love, which I'm attracted to, something that is external to myself. Then there's divine love. Mary Baker Eddy's revelation of divine egoism. There is but one being, one life, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself. Now, in this oneness, this is the principle of the divine creation, one power, and it's absolute goodness without opposite. It has nothing to do with what most of us are calling good, because the good we are referring to is what we call finite good. It has the complementary, unmanifested other part of bad. It's duality, driven by the law of opposites. And spirit is whole. It's complete. You can't divide spirit. As you drill down with this, and what is it going to entail for me to accept spiritual identity, is that you must accept this idea of oneness. There's no such thing as I'm spiritual and you're not, because that violates the rule of spiritual law.
So you're saying we want to be in the spiritual identity all the time, not just when we have, like you said, those opposite conditions that are giving us some trouble in our mortal lives.
Yeah, well, that's one of the biggest barriers to spiritual identity, is this idea of finite good. As long as things are going my way, why would I want to? Who wants to jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Why would you want to undertake something that feels very threatening to your personal sense of self? That's one of the reasons why we talk about things like only reason walks through the open door of revelation. We have to develop ourselves humanly, and we have to develop the ability to make conscious choices, to be able to uphold a value system that would lead you to spiritual revelation. To do most of these things, you have to have leadership. One of the things I really like to work with is the Bible now. And I have a quote here from John 3:5 and then again 6, and I'll read it. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." End of quote. As long as we are under the government of karmic law, everything is subject to change. Spirit is the changeless state of being without opposite. And to graduate from karmic law, material law, to spiritual law, we must sacrifice personal sense. There isn't any other way. Spirit is one, and besides spirit, there's no other. Karma is experienced as the wrath of God, but it is the love of God refusing imperfection, lack, limitation, pain, because these things aren't the divine creative principle.
We have to get out of understanding there is two, me and God. I have to reprogram myself in thinking that, well, God is all, God is one. There's only oneness, there's not two-ness.
Right. What we find is you can't do that as a personal sense of self. You need a plan. You need something that initially will get you outside of this personal sense of self. Once you understand the process of thinking, forming thoughts and opinions, coming from information from your material senses, creates the veil. That's the dream. That is a hypnotic state manufactured by a world mind, the collective consciousness, and it's broadcast, and then it is disguised and internalized as a personal thought. Once you have an understanding of how this is working and what do I need to do in order to get out from underneath being controlled by that, then by going from talking about it to experiencing it, you must demonstrate the omnipresence of the divine law.
Now, in order to demonstrate that, though, you're saying we have to be, again, born of the Spirit.
Right. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're working with the mental material concept. What we've learned is that you can change finite bad to finite good using thought and belief. And there is some merit to that, but you're still under the law of karma, you're still hypnotized, and you're in what's called the cycle of death and rebirth. If you want liberation, freedom from this law of karma, which is basically the law of reciprocity, what you put out is what you get back. Herb Fitch calls it the perfect accountant. But it's an ever-ending, never-ending level of consciousness. At some point, like I say, mostly motivated by the fact you're no longer experiencing what could be called the peaceful deities in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And then once you're in that countercycle of the wrathful deities, and things aren't going according to personal plan, personal interest, then we scramble and we're looking to get out of that. And so having an understanding of, well, what do I have to do to get out from under this hypnotic state? I am controlled by this belief in two powers. You start to see that I can get out of it by letting go of the belief. And start by believing in the One.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Asana Class is a module fitting into the master plan, leading the practitioner to the experience of total consciousness by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea. a system of exercises designed to use the physical appearance to determine individual level of consciousness and degree of awareness, starting with the process of lengthening and strengthening muscles to bring bones into the position of internal support. We educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, because when spirit is cause, it calls into expression the beauty of holiness, making creation perfect. Mountain pose may not bring you truth in consciousness, but truth in consciousness must bring mountain pose. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to discuss a statement from our opening. I'll read it. Divine science demands all that you are and then gives all it is. End of the quote. So I have a question here. If it demands all that you are, so the you, some people might think that is like a personal pronoun. So how do we go back to thinking about being the I-ness?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what has to happen, is we have to graduate from seeing ourselves as a personal, separate entity, and then realize if God is all, who am I? Who are you? If there's only one life, if there's only one being, then this idea of two-ness dissolves. And of course, it's not something that you can grasp with your corporeal sense mind. The corporeal sense mind works in a completely different medium than the divine mind. And so that's the process where we're going from thinking with our five material senses to we go through this, what was called the dark night of the soul, this period where if you can, you stop thinking and you make your mind aware for the presence of the divine creation, which is invisible and intangible to corporeal sense. And then in that silence and in that stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let divine truth reveal itself from within. Now, until you have that divine mind illuminate your thought, you're still working with the mortal mind. And once you have that, what was called the birth of Christ, to be born again of spirit, is a real experience. And it's not just a declaration, I'm spiritual. But matter and mind have now come together with this other level of consciousness, this other realm of awareness. And so we start with a belief in the divine creation. And what we find is we can believe in anything. And, you know, with thought and belief, you manifest experience. But in order to manifest the divine experience, you must be conscious of the divine creation. At the same time, you have to graduate from thinking with your five material senses to knowing with your seven spiritual senses. Paul called this in the Bible the mind of Christ. In Revelations in the Bible, it's really this graduation of these seven churches, these seven levels of consciousness that are all joined. Or in the Old Testament, they talk about Jacob's ladder. Spiritual awareness is a process we develop. And you have to nurture it. You have to create a hospitable environment to invite divine truth into your awareness. But when you do this, then you start to see the experience of it gives all that it is. Jesus said, all the Father has is mine. The idea of prayer in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. But when you unbox that and you analyze it, the Bible says, ask in my name. Well, my name doesn't mean Jesus or Lazarus, or it means my likeness. You must be in divine likeness, which is spiritual identity. And then you find that it's kind of a trick question, because if you are in spiritual identity, you are in oneness. And in this oneness, you are whole, complete, fulfilled. There's nothing you would ever want added to you or taken away from you. So you rest in that knowledge.
So, Swami, people listening to what you're saying might be saying, well, this sounds really good. I want to be in this spiritual identity. But they might be thinking, well, how do I do that?
Yeah, accepting oneself to be the living spirit isn't an intellectual accomplishment or a declaration, but it is a transformation. And like we say, one of the things we start with is our physical body, to transform. Form meaning the manifested part, trans, to go through. What we do in Kriya Yoga is we refine the physical body. We distill it, purify it. You eliminate all the unnecessary cravings and disturbances in order to be able to create a hospitable environment to invite divine mind into your awareness. The language of spirit is silence. The activity of spirit is stillness. So you replicate silence and stillness, which then invites divine mind into your awareness. And once you stop forming thoughts and opinions based on the information coming through the corporeal senses, and you have a belief in the divine creation, the perfection of being, then in that silence, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let divine truth guide us. It will illuminate your thought. But again, you can't be sitting there thinking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do for entertainment. You must love God. And what that means is you must love or desire that which is invisible and intangible. And you can't serve two masters. So if you are still longing for things that are visible and tangible, or even things that are invisible but tangible, thoughts, your beliefs, your concepts, your theories, all of this creates this interference pattern, and you can't bring divine truth into your awareness. So there's a lot of preparatory work, and a lot of people think that is sacrificing. But what I've learned is that it's really not a sacrifice at all. You're substituting. Rather than using something visible and tangible and oftentimes toxic and addictive and expensive, you substitute what is invisible and intangible to produce the same feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough. But your conscious awareness of this divine principle, this law, once it is activated, then it will start to yield its benefits. All that I have is thine. But you're not asking in that mortal sense. You're asking is resting in the knowledge, I am everywhere always. I am the reflection of an indestructible principle. And you start to see, by accepting and living in the knowledge of your divine self, begins to take care of what seemed to be your mortal sense of self.
So, I mean, let's look at what Jesus did when he resurrected Lazarus from the dead, because I think that could really help us understand what it is that you're discussing.
Yeah, a shift in identity from physical to mental to spiritual. And to get a clear understanding of this experience, like you say, we'll use the resurrection of Lazarus. And for this, I'm going to play this soundbite that we've done. To use the symbolism of the resurrection of Lazarus to help us understand what we are doing, let's unbox it. Lazarus is the purified human consciousness. Martha is the physical appearance of matter and form we call body. Mary is the belief and concept we call finite mortal mind. Jesus is Christ, the saving aspect of truth. Let's start. The sisters write Jesus to alert him, symbolizing a stirring in the mind-body complex, seeking the divine self. Lazarus is put in the tomb. The false sense of self must be buried in the silence and stillness of divine revelation before Christ can come to the purified human consciousness. Martha greets Jesus. Matter and form are attuned to the divine idea. Martha goes within and gets Mary. Mary comes out. Belief and concept are attuned to the divine idea. Martha and Mary present Lazarus to Jesus, and Christ comes to Lazarus and calls the purified consciousness out as the risen Christ. The joining of spirit with truth brings the light of divine eternal life, revealing the nothingness of anything unlike divine perfection. The difference between spirit and the mental material world of energy. Matter and energy or thought are tangible, and spirit is intangible to corporeal sense. Matter and mortal mind are dualistic and work on contrast under the laws of opposites. Driven by a belief in two powers. Spirit is whole under the law of one power. The language of spirit is silence and the activity of spirit is stillness. These can be helpful clues when trying to determine the source of personal activity. The mortal mind is for getting, and the divine mind is forgiving. We can determine the level of consciousness by the direction of intention. If it is forgetting, it is mental material, and if it is forgiving, it can be spiritual.
Swami, I think a point we need to make with that last statement that you were just talking about is the words forgiving and forgetting. The forgive and the forget, that's two separate words. I think that's a big distinction we need to make.
Yeah, we're really talking about the direction of intention here. The personal sense is constantly pulling energy into itself because it has needs. Spiritual identity really rests in absolute perfection. There really shouldn't be even any giving or getting at a spiritual level. It is just a resting, my peace, resting in the knowledge that life is held, controlled, and governed by the perfect divine law of absolute eternal life.
Well, that's going to end our program for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, if you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understandings. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and distinguish the false from the true. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga revelation. Namaste.